With the Citi Business Advantage Platinum Select World MasterCard, you can turn Staplers and more into a new adventure when you earn American Airlines Advantage miles on all your business purchases, from office supplies to airline tickets to car rentals. Find out more at citi.com/fly.
Amazon Prime Day is coming, and it's so special, we brought out the confetti cannons. What's Prime Day? It's a day with more deals than Black Friday, exclusively for Amazon Prime members. Amazon Prime members can save big on thousands of amazing items, all on Prime Day. Not a Prime member? There's still time to sign up. Go to Amazon.com right now. Don't miss it. Prime Day is one day only, July 15th. I'm going to need a lot more confetti, so you know.
Time and energy are our most valuable resources. But success isn't just about what we do with our time. It's very much about how much of ourselves we bring to the time we have and how we feel about our choices. Welcome to Take Charge of Your Productivity with your host, Penny Zenker. We're here to bring you a whole new perspective on how to manage your precious time and energy. You'll gain key strategies, skills, and the necessary psychology that create the balance you are craving and deserve. Now, here is Penny Zenker.
Everyone, it's Penny Zenker, your host of Take Charge of Your Productivity. On this show, we host great authors, leaders, and entrepreneurs to explore your greatest potential by tapping in to the 10 core elements of time and energy management. You know, I love to provide multiple perspectives on these 10 core elements because really, well, these perspectives, they're going to speak to you directly. If it's not one perspective, it's definitely going to be another. And that's why this show is for every topic, we bring in multiple authors to bring those different perspectives. And to simplify how these 10 critical elements work together, I came up with a windmill as a metaphor for human productivity. This windmill has a gear mechanism that works from within. The smoother, the more consistent, and the faster that the blades turn, the more productive you tend to be. In taking charge of your productivity, there are three segments, or in windmill terminology, blades, that are critical. They are championship psychology, winning strategies, and sustainable results. And without all three of these, your product windmill, well, it's really underpowered. It's going to turn, but not optimally. So today's perspective is to better understand, what do I mean by championship psychology? Am I talking about positive thinking? Right? Positive thinking is the best approach to misfortune or challenge in life, right? That's what we've learned. Well, maybe not. Our psychology is the driving force behind everything that we do, but there are external variables or triggers that are going to influence you, and some of them you can't control, but you can control how you respond to them and ultimately what they mean to you. So positivity, it's really a way sometimes to avoid the problem, but that's not always the best way to solve a problem. As described in my program, to accelerate productivity, championship psychology is not about eliminating the negative, but learning how to recognize it and adapt quickly, because awareness is power. If we understand the root cause of a challenge, we can overcome it quickly. The key is not to live in the problem, because if you do, well, your problem's just going to continue to grow, right? What do you do when you're in a hole and you're digging? Well, if you want to get out of it, you've got to stop digging, right? So to give us an in-depth understanding of this concept of illuminating the negative mindset, this week's guest is David Corbin, and he's going to share his unique techniques to confront, examine, and fix the problems. David Corbin is an author, speaker, mentor, and advisor who's coined the phrase illuminating the negative as the best approach to resolve challenges. He's been referred to as the Robin Williams with an MBA because of his high content speeches coupled with entertaining and sometimes side-splitting stories and applications. He is a funny guy. He's a former psychotherapist with a background in healthcare, and he served as a management and leadership consultant to businesses, organizations of all sizes, Fortune 20 companies to businesses with less than $1 million. and he enjoys the challenges of all of them. He's worked directly with presidents of companies such as AT&T, Hallmark, Sprint, as well as the HUN Secretary of Veterans Administrations, and many others. David's latest book, Illuminate, Harnessing the Power of Negative Thinking, has reached number 2 in the Amazon category of business life. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome David Corbin. Hey, David, great to have you here.
Hey, well, it's great to be had here. How are you
today? Doing awesome. Today, I'm illuminating the positive.
Yeah, well, see, that's the cool thing is one of the things, you know, the song says you got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. And so I'm totally into accentuating the positive. I've I'm a pretty positive guy. And when it comes to reading the books, I think I read them all. I'm honored to be in Think and Grow Rich. I'm in that book and I'm around that. But we also need to just not eliminate the negative. We need to illuminate it and see what's in the way. What are these obstacles? We can't stick our head in the sand. So, you know, thank you for that cool intro. And you and I are philosophically really aligned, is that we got to get real and see what these things are, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Before we dig into some of that meat, I just want to talk a little bit about your background. How did you go from a psychotherapist to a business consultant? I mean, I hope you're not saying that all leaders are nuts. I don't know.
Well, first of all, we're all nuts. Come on, Penny. We're all nuts to a certain degree. Every one of us has a certain amount of dysfunction in our lives. And who among us doesn't really feel, to a certain extent, a little bit of an imposter? Like, we really wish we knew as much as everybody thinks we know. We really think we wish we were as cool as everybody kind of thinks we are. You know, we're all real people. I mean, I think that's why Woody Allen's movies are so popular. We could all relate to him, you know, a little bit. But you know, we're all psychos. You know, I used to be a psychotherapist. Now I'm just a psycho. I dropped the therapist part. But you know, we're all just works in progress. And let's face it, you know, everybody thought that the coolest kids in high school, you know, best looking, like all had it together and stuff. We all have our issues. We all have our challenges. So that's why when I work with leaders at any level, I just treat them like real people, because guess what? It's exactly what they are. So everybody who's listening to this, I guarantee you everybody's going, yeah, I guess, you know, it's true. You know, I'm not my iconic self. I'm my real self and stuff. So, you know, I'll leave an audience and, you know, if I'm blessed with a standing ovation and fly home, you know, in the front of the plane and stuff, I would come home and my kids would remind me what kind of a real goober I really am, you know. We don't want to take ourselves too seriously. So how did I get there? So, yeah, so I was a psychotherapist. Now I'm a psycho. I always apply psychology to what it is that I do. And so when I came out to California to go to medical school in 1977, so you know, I kind of do the math. I'm 62 years old, still learning and growing, you know, still trying to develop the best iteration of me, utilizing tools such as yours on productivity, you know, life management, not just time management, productivity.
Right.
You know, so I came to California medical school, decided that was not right for me, and I just got involved in business, and I applied everything that I learned and everything I am, Penny, to what I did. And so in business, I was very successful because I took a psychological approach to it, to sales, to managing others, to leading others. It's all about people to people. And so I used that approach, again, having been trained as a psychotherapist, and I had a modicum of success. So I just kept doing that, you know, building businesses and then inventing products and building businesses around the products, selling the businesses, writing books, doing speeches, up to the point that I met the one and only you, you know, doing what I do in mentoring and speaking and consulting and training. And that's sort of what I do. It's not who I am. It's what I do. Because, you know, who I am is a person, a human being. What I do is that sort of stuff also.
Right. Well, who you are, hey, that'd be a whole nother show right there. So, but in that context,
great, Jack. Yeah, yeah.
in that context, you know, that's how I know you to be, is that you're real. And I think when I think of the whole topic and the way that you've presented Illuminate the Negative, you know, that's really the crux of it as well, is that's being real. If we're, you know, I know so many people who don't allow themselves to be negative because they think that that's taboo, that's not allowed to think negative. But they forget that we're human. And that, you know, in order to get to the crux of a problem, we need to be real. We need to really understand what's really going on. And so I consider that's kind of the theme, I think, is just being real.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When I think about, like, well, I had a problem recently. Can I share it with your doctor? Thank you. I had an issue where I wasn't doing my morning meditation. From a productivity point of view, I try to have as much regularity and routine in my schedule. So in the morning, I'd get up, I'd wake up, I'd do my morning ablutions, you know, and I'd clean my tongue and brush my teeth and drink my Zeolite, which is this powder which helps to cleanse the body of heavy metals and toxins and all that sort of stuff, right? And then I'd get back in bed, and I would do a half-hour meditation using something called HoloSync, which is an audio, you know, bihemispheric training thing. So, you know, I would do that. But sometimes I would get on Facebook and spiral out on Facebook. Yeah, exactly. And
get caught in that rabbit hole.
Absolutely. It is a rabbit hole, you know. And so when I realized that, I had to accentuate the positive. You know, Facebook is great, keeps me in touch with my friends from high school, junior high school, you know, Hebrew school. You know, I've got all these friends that are still in my life over 50 years because Facebook put us back together. That's accentuating the positive. That's really cool and groovy. But if I illuminate the negative, I'd go, whoa. You know, I sometimes get spiraled and whatnot. So when I illuminate the negative, a lot of people would go, well, you know, the positive is so good, I'm just going to focus in on that because I'm in touch with these people and that people. But they don't look and allow themselves to illuminate the negative. So when I did that, I went, okay, cool. I'm going to limit myself to two times a day to go on Facebook. And one of those times a day, guess what, is not going to be in the morning so that I spiral away. So that's an example of just like illuminating and going, you know, where is this getting in the way? And the model is quite simple. You know, you got to face it. You know, if I face the problem that I'm not doing my morning meditation and I look at, you know, I follow that out into the future, so face it is number one, step number one. Then follow it is okay, what's causing it, you know, from the, you know, what's causing it? Let's look backwards. Well, what's causing it is I'm doing the Facebook. What, you know, if I follow it into the future, it's like if I don't do my meditation, my day is not going to go as smoothly. I'm not going to be as productive. I'm not going to be as present. Right. I'm not going to be as healthy. There's going to be cortisol, weight gain, and all that kind of crap. So face it, follow it, and then fix it. Third step is fix it. Fix it is, okay, modify the times at which I'll allow myself to use Facebook. That's a simple example of the Illuminate model. And Penny, as you know, people have gotten profound, profound results from, you know, Fortune 20 CEOs and cabinet members to people who run very small businesses, just applying the simple model, being aware of it and being attentive to it, you get great results.
Absolutely. I mean, awareness is power, right? And I think that so many times that people are stuck in their excuses, that's one of the biggest time wasters that actually exist is excuses, because people get so caught up in it. And it's important just to take a look at it for what it is. As you said, see, accentuate the positive. I like the way that you said that is recognize both the pros and the grows, as my mentor Steve Linder would say, you know, that here you were able to come up with be able to still utilize Facebook, right, in the positive way that it brings you, but you've set some boundaries around it and making sure that you're doing the activities that are right for you at the right time. And those are some real key learnings for people to be able to take away, because so many times we don't have boundaries and rules for the way that we do things, and just by bringing in a few boundaries and rules would help us to be that much more efficient and effective.
Yeah, I agree, and I love the pros and grows that your mentor. See, two things come to mind. One is I love the concept. Okay, pros and grows, that's really cool. And it's like in that song, win some and learn some instead of win some and lose some, you know?
Yeah, I like it.
The other thing is I love that you have your mentor. And the most important thing is not only did you get something from your mentor and an awareness, but you have an attentiveness and a utilization of it. You see, Penny, that's kind of cool. So not only did you get that from your mentor, but you're actually applying and using it. So that is the sign of a champion, and that's why I agreed to be on your radio show.
Thank you. I like to think I practice what I preach.
Right on, baby. Otherwise, and so one thing is awareness, yes, is important. Awareness is important. I'm pretty sure, however, that every obese person in America knows that they're obese, and I'm pretty sure that every smoker knows that they're smoking. So awareness is not enough. It's really, as one of my colleagues, Mitch Axelrod, talks about in axiology, is it's attentiveness. It's not knowledge, it's action, and it's not awareness, it's attentiveness and action. And so, you know, you could be aware of issues in your life. Like, you know, I was totally aware that before I went to sleep or after dinner, I'd have a couple glasses of wine. I was aware of that, right? Of course I was. But I was also aware that after I would have a couple glasses of wine, I'd be like voraciously hungry. It would adjust my blood sugar. And I'd eat anything, man. It was like in the 60s and 70s, having the munchies, you know. I'd go, oh, let's see what we have. We have sardines and we have chocolate syrup. Yeah, let's eat that, you know. It's like you get so hungry, you'll eat anything. So I was aware that I would drink the wine at night and be hungry, but I wasn't attentive to it. And when I became attentive to it, was when I said, okay, I either have to have some carrots or cut up celery or cucumber or something that I'll want to munch on, but it's going to be okay for me to eat before I go to sleep. You see, silly things like that are examples of the Illuminate model in action. You know, you got to face it, you got to follow it, and then take action and fix it. And it's so simple. I'm almost embarrassed that the model is as simple as it is. But when you get the amount of results that we get from, I mean, huge companies that they blend in chief illumination officers into their corporation, people who are going around facilitating open, loving, vulnerable, authentic dialogue on people being able to illuminate the negative in a positive light. Saying, hey, I think we might have a problem here, and I'm not complaining. I want to bring it up so we might be able to brainstorm how we could follow it and fix it. That creates a culture of growth and development. And I don't watch the news or read the news, but I got something on my email this morning about General Motors and some ignition crazy situation where another car blew up, and they're going to have another gazillion-dollar settlement. And it's all because, Penny, it's all because they didn't allow for a culture to illuminate, because they did have people that know what was going on. They did have people who said, hey, we've got problems. But their culture said, listen, go back to work. We don't need that right now. We've got things we need to do. Yeah, we'll take care of this sometime. And they went into denial. They didn't illuminate. They didn't face it. Follow it and see what was causing this initial problem. How might we be able to engage some resources to fix it? And it would have saved not only money, but it would have saved freaking lives, because they didn't have the culture of Illuminate.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up, because this is what I was thinking too, is the first part is the hardest, is the facing it. So what are some of the challenges that you've seen, and how do you help people to face it? Because I think that's probably the biggest hurdle.
You know, it's really weird. I'll be in this coming up month. I'll be in New York, Texas, Chicago, California, and Vegas. I'll see you in Vegas, I hope. and I'll be sharing the message. I'll be, you know, keynoting and speaking and consulting and doing all kinds of stuff. And in every one of them, I ask people and remind them, I say, just right now, jot down two things that you're really not facing in your business or life, that if and when you do, and then you're aware of it and you get working on it, it's going to shift your productivity, profitability, success, happiness, health, whatever. What are two things you're not facing? And most people go, I don't know. And I say, and if you did know, write down those two. And they always find them. They always find two. They always find them. And one of those two, I can assure you, becomes a leverage point to their accomplishments and of success, happiness, freedom, health, ego, peace of mind, child, whatever it is, you see. And so
absolutely.
I begin with the question, what is it that I'm not facing that's holding me back? What is it that I'm not facing that's holding me back? Gee, I don't know. If you did know, well, it's probably X. Happens
right.
every time. That is the starting point to greatness. I ask that to, I won't tell you names, but let's just say very famous, well-heeled, successful business professionals. And they always come up with something. And so that's the first step. Ask yourself, what am I not facing? And
absolutely.
By definition, it changes it almost like from objectivity to subjectivity and subjectivity to objectivity. It automatically goes, oh, crap, that's right. And then very often, they'll go right back to sleep at the wheel and not think about it. But I take it the next step and say, okay, let's look at that and let's follow that into the future. If you keep living that way, what's going to happen? And people start getting a visceral experience of, oh, crap, I don't want that to happen. It's like 2 years ago, I weighed 189 pounds. That's obese for a guy who's 5'5½". That's obese, 189 pounds. And,
right.
and I knew it, but I didn't. But until I followed it into the future and realized, well, I'm not going to have the retirement I want with health. I'm not going to be able to continue to play tennis. I'm not going to have this. I'm probably going to get that. Until you look at the implications. So number one is you ask yourself, what am I not facing? And then the next step is follow it into the future. Carry that into the future. What's your life going to be like? And people go, oh, crap, you know, and then follow it back. Well, what's causing it? Well, I'm maybe drinking wine late at night, or maybe I'm going out to dinner with friends and meetings, and or I'm speaking at events and they have all this great free food, you know, and I just go crazy with it, you know. So in answer to your question, I think they just ask themselves, what am I not facing? And
okay.
in on that a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe just to add something for the listeners, the way that I help people to face it, you know, sometimes when we ask a question in a different way, you know, it helps them to trigger something like, ah, I was just at a sales retreat that I did for a large company in this area, and we were talking about what I call the productivity curve, and on either parts of the curve, on the ends, are procrastination and perfectionism. And so I ask people in the face it is take a look at two things, just like you did. You know, let's keep a short list, the top two things that you're procrastinating on. So in a way that you're not facing, right? And that's why you're procrastinating on those things, whether it's a decision that needs to be made or an action that you need to take, whatever it is. And then, you know, we would follow that along. The same thing with perfectionism, because both of those areas are what creates stress for us, which is the number one killer of our productivity and keeps us away from that productivity zone. So what are two things that people are doing that they are overdoing, right, in terms of being a perfectionist
it.
Around? And so maybe
I
for the listeners, great, awesome. So let's make sure that the listeners have a pen and paper in hand and are writing down in whatever way works best for you is to what do you need to face? You know, so take those two questions down, whether it's around procrastination and perfectionism or whether there's another way of just two things that you are not facing. Write that down. Because this is very powerful stuff, David. And you know, I love the fact that you say you're almost embarrassed that it's too simple. It needs to be simple. I mean, we are simple creatures, and it helps us when we have a simple process. It's a simple three-step process to follow that you can use anywhere at any level of complexity, and it works. That's all that matters, right? It doesn't matter how simple it is. It works, and that's powerful.
Well, if I weren't driving right now, which I am, because I am I multitask for productivity, baby. You know, I learned some of this stuff from you. And so I would write down perfectionism and procrastination, because those are alliterative poisons. I love it. The poison of perfectionism and procrastination. That's,
yes.
It's great stuff. And there,
pick your
poison.
Those are
pick your poison. We've got a whole lot of peas going on here, you know. but those are sort of symptoms, or maybe sort of causes. And then, you know, from a psychological point of view, I will always ask, why is it that people are procrastinating? You know, what
Absolutely.
Are they avoiding? Because it's either love or fear, and usually procrastination is an avoidance based around fear. And, you know, stress is a sustained form of worry. Procrastination is a sustained form of fear. You know, there's all these sort of root causes, but when you really simplify it down, it's just asking yourself, what am I avoiding? What am I denying? What am I, you know, what do I need to illuminate? What am I not facing? And then move forward from there. And so when, and it is simple, but what motivates people when I'm speaking with them is stories and examples of how individuals and organizations have used the illumination model and generated literally hundreds of millions of dollars, probably collectively over $1 billion. And it's all about, you know, if you face, for example, lack of profitability in an organization, and then you follow it and you go, well, it's probably because, you know, there's no loyalty to our clients, from our clients, and they, you know, they just buy, you know, whoever's, you know, going to be the most price preferable. There's a couple more P's there. Price preferable, and there's no loyalty. And then they follow it and go, well, why don't we have that loyalty? And they go, well, you know, we really don't treat them in a way that's going to give them any sort of a connection or a bond or any mojo connection or any loyalty. And then you say, okay, well, what if you could change that? And then they go about fixing it, and you see companies literally quadruple. I don't know what the term is for five timing, but I know quadruple is four timing, literally quadrupling their profits by using that model. And you go, yeah, it's simple, but who gives a, you know, we're grateful for that simple because holy mackerel, the results are outstanding. I mean, I got a call yesterday afternoon. Somebody wished me a happy Jewish New Year. And in that, we were just sort of reminiscing a little bit. And this is the largest HMO on the planet. And he's the director of training. And they paid me to mentor him to become the director of training. And we were talking about how in one area of their optical lab where they make eyeglasses, their profits zoomed in less than, I don't know how many months it was. I guess it was about a little less than a year and a half, from 40-some-odd million to 63 million. Excuse me, not profits, but gross revenue. From 43 to 60-some-odd million very quickly by making simple lists of what it was that they weren't facing and then teaching them how to follow it, fix it. And holy moly. I mean, that was kind of a neat call to get. Yesterday, I didn't really think about that lately, but it was really kind of neat because the thing is simple, but it really works. And so there's that. So you know, the takeaway I think for any listener is to make that short list, and then once you have that short list, look at the ramifications of not taking action. Look at the ramifications of not taking action. Look at the situation, look at the problem, and look at the implications of that. And when you look at the implications of that, then you're motivated to move away from that. And it
absolutely.
Keeps your head
I think that's one of the most powerful pieces, because when you really realize the damage that it's doing and how that's going to spiral, because it's just building, and not only its impact on you, but even more importantly, what's the impact on those around you, right? Like you said, with the GM example, I mean, people died and you know, there are greater ramifications to others in many instances when it spirals out of control.
Yeah, I showed a video once, and you might have seen me present this, where, you know, I showed the Explorer, the Challenger Explorer, blow up in the sky, and it didn't have to happen. I show pictures of the astronauts who died, sons and daughters and mothers and children and fathers and sisters and they all died and they didn't have to. It's because the culture at NASA wouldn't allow for the illumination process. And then I show the papers that show that indeed they knew what the problems were, but instead of illuminating the negative, they just decided to eliminate the negative and ignore it. And it doesn't have to be that way. So if I were a listener right now, I'd say, I got it. I am motivated. I got it. I am now going to make a list of some of the things that I've been denying, or that I've been suppressing, or that I've been, you know, just hiding and eliminating. I'm going to put them up there, and I'm going to commit myself to illuminating, ask myself, what is it that I'm not facing? And damn it, I'm gonna face it. I'm going to follow it. And to the extent that I can, I'm going to fix it. And by the way, I want to point out, not everything could be fixed. Not everything could be fixed. It might be mitigated. It might be modified. Mm-hmm. It might be contained, but it can't all be fixed. And they asked me on the Washington Post, they said, you know, it was kind of neat, you know, because Washington Post are, you know, an investigative reporters. And they said, well, you know, are you saying that people should only acknowledge problems, you know, that they can fix? Or shouldn't it be that don't bring me a problem, says the manager, unless you've got a solution? I go, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can bring, and I want a manager to be able to say, yeah, bring me that issue. I may not have any of the resources of time and money and even know-how to fix it, but I don't want it to get lost. I want to keep it on the grease board, put it on the flip chart, for when we do create those resources, we can get our butts to work and do that. So, no, I'm not breeding a community that says only bring me problems that you have a solution for. And I think about some of the interviews that I've had, because, you know, I love talking with people like yourself. You're the real deal. I mean, you not only believe in what you do, you do what you do, and you create tools for other people to have that level of productivity that you have. That's the sign of greatness, you know. And I was interviewed by a great interviewer on Oprah Radio, and they said, well, okay, this sounds cool, but how does this model, let's say, apply, you know, to the family? And I think they thought that kind of stumped me. And it's very quickly. Can I tell you the answer? What I shared with them?
Yeah, what'd you say?
So I said it's kind of simple. Picture this: here's a family, and they've got a 14-year-old or 15-year-old daughter, and she's doing pretty good in school, and she's really good on the soccer team. And the kid comes home on a Friday night, and she's acting a little strange, not herself, a little moody, and her breath smells a little bad. I don't know what it smells like, but it doesn't. And so, you know what? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to accentuate the positive. I'm going to eliminate the negative. You know what? She's doing well, doing well in school. She's really good on soccer. I just let it slide. And the same thing happens on Saturday night. But, you know, I know something. Honey, she doesn't seem to be herself, but you know what? She's doing well. Okay. So they accentuate the positive, and they eliminate the negative instead of illuminating it. And it turns out that what happens is the kid ends up drinking, maybe going into drugs or whatever, all because the parents kept their head in the sand, and they went crazy. That's a perfect example. And said, so what we want to do is we want to accentuate the positive. Yeah, she's been good in school, doing good soccer, but let's illuminate the negative. Honey, I don't think she's herself. What's going on? Sit down. Baby, talk to us. You know, you were... And now you're confronting, okay? You're facing it, for crying out loud. That's
right.
An example. And they got
absolutely.
It, and I know you get it too. Yeah.
I get it. And I think everybody gets it because, you know, what's important to understand is strategies are cross-contextual. What works in one area of your life, very often you may not apply it in another area of your life, but it works. And so this is a, you know, a framework, a process that is going to work in any context.
It's cross-contextual, is that what you said?
Yes.
That's some pretty fancy terminology, lady. Cross-contextual. I like that. You know, years ago, my business partner, Brian Tracy, you know who Brian is, of course, wonderful speaker and thought leader, we developed a program, and instead of it being time management, it was called life management, which then was kind of profound because it was, in the words of the great philosopher Penny Sinker, cross-contextual. I love that term. And I put my pinky out when I say that because that's pretty fancy stuff.
I love that.
I feel very erudite. happy today. Yes, marvelous. Good. Lovely.
Good. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Earlier you said when we were talking about, rightfully so, that procrastination and perfectionism is a symptom, right? And the root cause is, as you said, in most cases, fear or love, right? Or fear of love or of and I think that, one of the ways that I titled the show is because I think when we face it, follow it, and fix it, we're looking to face it to get to the root cause of the problem, right? We don't want to just put a Band-Aid on something, which is all too often what happens. So maybe you can share with us, how you help to ensure that people get to that root cause, that they dig a little deeper. You still there? Uh-oh, I think we lost him. Well, let me just, until David comes back on, yep, we lost him, he's going to call back in. It's so important that we get to the root cause and that we don't just scratch the surface and see what's happening on the surface and then put a Band-Aid on it. So I think when David's talking about fixing it and he's talking about, he's back on.
I'm here.
So let's hear David's perspective on that. I was just saying, how do you help people get to the root cause and not just scratch the surface with the symptom?
Yeah, so that's a big question. And so I'm just going to tell you that there's different levels of diving in, okay? There's different levels of diving in. On one level, you self-treat and ask yourself, what are the things in life that I'm most afraid of? Or what are the biggest problems or challenges that I faced in my life and how have I overcome them? And then look at a common thread to the big challenges. And so at one level, you're doing a self-assessment or self-audit. Another level, you're asking people around you and that know you and love you and that you can be authentic and vulnerable with. And you ask them, what are the areas that you feel, in your opinion, if I were to be attentive to, I would be more effective, productive, happy, and healthier. I mean, I'm talking about people that you can trust and know, people that are going to tell you that, okay, that's at
be
one level.
With you.
Self, yeah, be honest with you. So one level is self-introspection and then introspection of significant loving others in close proximity. At the other end of the spectrum, you do that and you do what I call a deep dive, which is, I did something called the Hoffman Institute, you can go online and see that, where I did an eight-day residential intensive of going deep into early childhood beliefs and learnings, precognitive, where you made decisions where you totally believed you were learning either A, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're disconnected from source, you're in complete control of your life. I mean, so that's something where you're doing a real, real deep dive into these negative admonitions, negative self-beliefs, negative love patterns. And so that's going really deep. And let me tell you, Penny, it was the most courageous thing I've ever done.
Oh, bad.
I mean, oh, my God. The toughest thing is they take away your cell phone for 8 days. Could you imagine that?
There you go. Sometimes
no.
necessary.
Oh, my God. And it was incredible because the learnings that you get, the courageous confrontation to some of the early beliefs. See, there's a lot of people that procrastinate, in my opinion, they procrastinate for fear of success. And they're really afraid of their own greatness. And I think it was Marianne Williamson who quotes something from either from Science of Mind or Course of Miracles that talks about people are not afraid of what, what they're not, they're more afraid of really stepping into who they really are. Okay.
Right.
So there's that sort of, deep dive, into that. And so some people are just, they have this belief that they are not good enough or they're not worthy and they believe that and they act in accordance with that and they procrastinate. Because if they actually do what they need to do, they're going to have to step into their own greatness, and that's foreign territory. That's not part of their self-concept or self-identity. And it sounds like bubblegum psychology, but I can tell you, at 62 years old, I've been fairly successful in my life. I'm still learning. I'm still growing, as you said early on in the program. You said that. You know, it's like we're constantly growing, constantly developing beings, and so that's what I found is early patterns unconsciously lead us into compulsive behavior that we're not even aware of. And those of us who are parents who hear ourselves saying things that our parents said, and we think to ourselves,
that we said we'd never
oh my
say.
God, that we would never say, and we don't ever say, but we're actually finding ourselves saying it, we realize that it happens at an unconscious level. And so much does. And so if you really face the root cause of some of your procrastination, perfectionism, and the like, to early admonitions or early precognitive learnings, if you could become aware of them, attentive to them, break the pattern, and replace the pattern through a number of different technologies, not the least of which could be positive affirmations and some NLP and whatnot, then you get not only immediate results, but you get sustaining results. And that's some cool stuff. So from
Absolutely.
Early age to just simply ask yourself the question, all the way through to utilizing the technology of resources available to you, such as the Hoffman Institute and all the tools like Gestalt, NLP, cognitive psychology, positive affirmations in between.
Absolutely.
Capiche?
My 2-day boot camp, we go into some of that to get to some of the root cause of how we define ourselves and our identity and work on a few of those elements because they are – you know, that's why championship psychology, it's in our psychology that is a very big part of what holds us back from being, you know, optimally productive and where we want to be, living that happy, fulfilled, successful life as we define it. But also if we look at it from, bring it up a notch and let's say, you know, organizations, people are looking to use your method here with the three steps, I think also, you know, the questions that we ask ourselves and others can be very powerful. So even if we see a problem that's going on in the organization, we can just ask ourselves, is this the root cause, right? Just a simple question to really say, is this the core issue? And then to as I guess that goes in your follow it, right, is to really understand in that process is to follow it and understand do we have that if we resolve this that many other items are going to be resolved as well, or are we just handling, you know, a piece of it? So I think the questions that we ask as we follow through it are key.
That's another example of following it and saying, you know, what are the other implications of that and what else does it impact? Following it into there's vortexing or there's spiraling effect of this problem and feeds and facilitates that problem and on and on. But I would just remind everyone to, in an organization or otherwise, if there is an issue or a challenge, ask yourself, is this a challenge that's worth looking at? Is it something, mm-hmm. you know, asking yourself, what are the ramifications? That's a part of the mm-hmm. part of the following it. What are the ramifications? Because,
right.
you know, some problems, you know, they say choose your poison and choose your battles, right?
some
issues or problems aren't really mm-hmm. worth fixing and mm-hmm. putting your time and attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, certain businesses aren't big enough to do.
Right.
I want to go back, though, to your – I want to go back to your boot camp, to the work that you're doing. I want to applaud you on that, okay? So – the technology that I know that you're utilizing in your boot camp and your work, this is important stuff, and it's an example of what I'm talking about there. It's an example of doing that introspection and then having the technology through workshops and boot camps such as yours, Penny, that people are going to make a big difference. So I just want to endorse that at the highest level because
Thank you. Absent that,
people are just going to keep doing the same stuff. So, you know, I know that you're a learning and growing individual yourself, as we all are. We're either green and
Absolutely.
Growing or ripe and rotting. And as you learn more and you bring more to your boot camp, you're impacting people one person at a time, and then they're doing it, and hopefully they'll be inspired to not only utilize it for their own benefit and then pass it on. Teach it
Absolutely.
To the next person. You know, I'm so proud to have been the host of that movie, Pass It On, where applied knowledge is brought from one generation to the next, because that's what's going to make or break the growth or the demise of civilization. So So I want to applaud you for who you are and what you're doing by doing these boot camps. And anybody who's listening to this, who's inspired to learn, go to that boot camp. You know, learn how to utilize this technology and the things that, you know, Penny has put together through her growth path. And learn and earn and then pass it on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's kind of, you know, you said that passing from one generation to another and people passing it on, it's really just a quick blurb that I lived 16 years in Switzerland. And, you know, I was thinking as I got back and I was sort of, you know, rediscovering the American culture and whatnot, is that, you know, the next stage of my life, I knew had to have something to do with culture, cultural change, and my unique awareness of it, having been outside of the United States for so long. And I really do believe that this work that I'm doing is exactly that, is to help to bring about cultural change so that people will not only live better, healthier lives for themselves, but they will bring that to their families, they'll bring it to their communities, and that it will, in its way, affect, you know, cultural change. So that is kind of the deeper meaning behind it.
Right on, and may we all continue to move forward. And I don't care if we fall, which we will do, but if we're falling in a forward direction, that's the way to go. You know, I'm sitting outside right now. I'm going to be going into the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And I belong to this group that actually does 2 days of the Jewish New Year, which is the time of renewal, right, which is the time of growth, change. And then the next holiday is called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where you're looking inside and you're facing the issues of where you may have been off the mark. Following it, I say take it the next step and say, well, what caused you to go off the mark? And then fix it and make a resolve to be better. And every culture has got that Kaizen, right, the Japanese term for continuous improvement. Every culture has that. And I think that's what we're talking about here, and we're talking about one simple way to do that. So, you know, to my Jewish friends and my Gentile friends, I want to remind you, as this Day of Atonement comes up and as this New Year comes up here for the Jewish group, but in January for all of us and whatnot, is to ask ourselves, what is it that if we were to face this year and follow it and fix, we would have the best year we've ever had? And one of those might be committing to going to Penny's boot camp and saying, okay,
you heard it, he said it.
It's just another way. It's another wonderful tool.
Absolutely.
But the reason I say that on this radio show is that people know you, and people want to work with people that they know. You know, change and growth and development happens at the speed of trust, doesn't it? And,
absolutely.
It's not a commercial, it's a reminder that whether it's with Penny or anyone else, is to make that commitment.
Make it happen.
To get real and make it the greatest year. And the year starts any day that you say that it starts. One of the people that I've mentored through the years, Gary Ryan Blair, he's got something called the 100-Day Challenge. And about twice a year, he grosses about $8 to $12 million twice a year. Not bad with this 100-day challenge. And he says, you know, start the first 100 days of the year strong. And if for any reason that didn't happen, end the year the last 100 days strong. And you know, for 100 days, he sends you a video and an audio and messages. It's really great, great motivation stuff. It's the best I've ever seen. And I mentored him 25 years ago. Take a look at it. It's called Gary Ryan Blair, the 100-Day Challenge. It's cool stuff. There's so many cool tools out there. There's no shortage of tools. As long as you have that www interweb thing, you know, with the Googly, you know, you could find anything you want. But it starts with wanting it, though. You know, and they say the path to greatness, you know, starts with one step. The path starts with going to the ATM machine. That's the first part. Then the second part is really,
you've got to invest in yourself.
Yeah, baby, and you got
no better cause.
The desire. No, I can't. You know, my friend Zig Ziglar, rest in peace. He used to say, he said, people spend money for what they put on top of their heads with the shampoos and conditioners, then more than they put inside their heads.
Smart,
and it's true. It's so true, right?
It is true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've got about 10 minutes on the show, and I want to make sure I ask you the question that I ask everybody. And I love the fact that not a single person so far in the year and a half that I've been doing this has given me the same definition. So, you know, how do you define productivity and why?
Well, productivity, that's a good question, and I don't have a set answer to that, but I'll say this. Productivity, two things. Well, I don't know two things. I'll just say one thing. Productivity is the process and the behavior by which you could measure and demonstrate to yourself you're moving in the direction of your highest and noble goals. I couldn't say that again word for word.
I like it. Yeah, really. Write that down. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. I like it because, you know, it really does it because it is a product of what we – how we behave, and as you said, a measure that we demonstrate it, because through our behavior, we're demonstrating that progress. I like that. Good definition.
Yeah, I
love that everybody has a different definition. So that's the cool thing is, and why, you know, I created this program, because we got to be talking about the same thing before we can, you know, it's kind of like I talk about it as the language of productivity, so at least we know we're talking about the same things.
Well, I'm into getting the benefits of life with time, money, effort, ego, ease, comfort, peace of mind, challenge, joy. I mean, that's what people want. People don't want a drill; they want a hole, right? And
that's right.
And I don't want productivity. I want a happy, healthy life. Okay, productivity is a way, and it's a gerund, and it's a process. And so, I want to make smart decisions in life, and I define smart as that which moves me in the direction of my highest and noble goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with Mensa or, you know, I went to Ivy League college. That's all cool, but it didn't make me smart. It's not a way of thinking. It's not SATs, LSATs, or MCAT boards. No. It's not even a way of thinking. It's a way of behaving. Everything I do that moves me in the direction of my goal of living a happy, healthy, loving, serving life, everything I do in that is smart. But everything I do that moves me away from that is stupid. And that's my new definition.
Absolutely. And that's easy to – and I think what's important is people, they fail to recognize the things that are moving them forward. They fail to take that inventory to pat
people.
Themselves on the back.
I'm totally one of those people. Everything I teach, I do and I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I do everything I teach until I don't do it, and I catch myself, and I go, oh, my goodness, look at that. And instead of kicking myself on the shin going, you idiot, you teach that,
right. And
you do it, but now you're not doing it. No, I pat myself on the back and go, good catch, David. Good
mm-hmm.
catch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I guess you are human like the rest of us.
Well, whereas I am the emperor of global dominance, I I am immortal. I will call myself a human because it says it on my birth certificate.
Right.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the whole deal. Is I believe we suck until we don't, and our job is to remove the sucky factor from our lives and reveal the genius, brilliance, the magnificence that is us. My newest book is called From WTF. To OMG with some LOL.
When's that coming out?
Well, it's you sound like my literary agent. As soon as I possibly can, but I'm traveling almost every day in October. No, and I'm not making excuses, and my productivity level is pretty high, but the point is that I have prioritized. But how many of us have gone from WTF, what a farfignugent is that about, to OMG, oh my God, that is like perfect.
And
you laugh, you go, I can't believe I missed that, you know. And there's so many, you know, people we meet that we don't like, situations that happen, and we go, what the Ford is going on here? And then we realize, oh, that's why. How perfect is that? Oh, my God, you know. So, I think we all suck until we don't, and that's the whole process of measuring where you're at on the core functions of your business and your life. And getting real serious, rating yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, where you're a 3, acknowledge that, you're not so good. 1 is you suck, and 10 is mastery. Where you're a 3, 4, or 5, you know, where you're an 8, 9, and 10, we're 8, 9, and 10, you accentuate the positive and go, yay, you pat yourself on the back, but we are 3, 4, or 5, you illuminate mm-hmm. the negative and say, I'm going to close the gap and I'm going to be a 6. Oh, my God, it feels so good to do that, to close the gap and to get better incrementally. It feels so good. Your self-esteem is so tied into that performance gap closure. Oh, man, it's great.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned sort of rating yourself on a scale and whatnot. I actually have a software program that helps people to gauge those 10 items to be able to rate themselves and bridge that gap. And it is useful to be able to continue to go back to that and say, okay, where am I? How am I doing? Great. Redirect, readjust. And that's, you know, I found people's feedback is so powerful because it gives them that, as you said, that measure. There's our behavior as that measure, and then there's also coming back to those core things and saying, ah, okay, right, got to focus here.
Right on, baby.
So we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I wanted to make sure you talked about your new book that's coming up, and I wanted to make sure that people knew where they could find out more information about you, if you've got any other programs that you'd like to let people be aware of, because I know they'd like to hear more from you and about you.
Well, I really am not. I'm not promoting. I mean, I'll say that the book that's going to be coming out soon is called "Preventing Brand Slaughter," because most people know what their brand is or don't know what their brand is. But I want to say, whether they know or don't know what their brand is, they don't always live in accordance with it. So I think they're either mm-hmm. building their brand or they're killing it. And brand integrity is living, or brand slaughter, they're killing. So brand slaughter is a book. I'm going to be doing a new mastermind program. It's a tele and in-person mastermind and mentoring program where they'll actually meet at my personal home in San Diego for a full day. We meet on the phone beforehand, and I'm only taking 18 people into that program. And so I'll be telling people about it at CEO Space, where I'm on faculty, and which is where I know you attend. And that'll probably fill
Absolutely.
Up. But if anybody's interested, they could reach me at david@davidcorbin.com, david@davidcorbin.com. And other than that, I don't really promote anything. I just be who I be. And, you know, and I attract people happily and mentor magnificent people. And I live a good life. And I sit outside of temples like I am right now, where God is waiting for me.
Well, you know, I just want to tell people who are listening here that, you know, if there are any of those spaces left, you're going to want to grab those because, you know, I mentioned earlier a comment from one of my mentors. I have many mentors, and, you know, you've mentored me in the past at CEO Space, and, you know, I love that coming back to the real is I always knew that any feedback that you would give me in any of our discussions were going to be real. You were really going to go to the core and serve me. So I know that anybody in this program is going to be well served to be mentored and coaching together with you. So definitely contact David at david@davidcorbin.com. He's awesome. You've heard it here. He's funny. He's fun to be with and also very productive. So, David, thank you so much for being here today. I know I'm sorry I didn't realize that you're standing outside of a synagogue waiting to go in. So say if you give my regards to God and thank you so much for being here today and illuminating the audience on your program and the process, because I think it was really valuable for the people who are listening.
It's my pleasure, Penny. Keep doing the good work.
Thanks. Take care. So thank you all for being here as well, whether it's your holiday for the new year, and as David said, you're starting the new year today because it is your new year, or maybe it's not your new year officially, but you've decided after this call, or maybe you've decided yesterday, or maybe you're deciding tomorrow that your new year begins now. And that's true. It doesn't have to begin on a certain day because someone has said it. It begins on the day that you decide it and that you're willing and ready to take action. So I just want to thank everybody for being here. I want you to join us next week as we continue to provide you with amazing experts in each of the 10 core elements that are going to dramatically increase your productivity. So until next week, this is Penny Zanker reminding you to take charge of your time and energy and to accelerate your productivity. Take care. See you next week.
Are you seeking techniques to improve your productivity? You can experience a 10 to 50% improvement, even if you're highly efficient now. The secret is understanding the 10 productivity elements and incorporating energy management into everything you do. This radio program is just the start. Go to TakeChargeRadio.com to access a self-assessment and a free 30-day coaching journal that will help you supercharge your productivity. That's TakeChargeRadio.com.